And you're with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast. And we've got Catherine Strong on the line. She's from X Rebellion. How are you, Catherine?
You know, pretty angry about everything that's been going on this week.
Yeah, I know. It's been a week, hasn't it? It's been actually quite a little, more than just a week. But tell us about the action that happened on Tuesday. It was stop traffic on Westgate Bridge. That's almost the worst thing you could possibly do. In, you know, compared to a genocide, that is the worst thing you can do.
Oh, yes. No, I think we're all in agreement that stopping 3 out of 5 lanes of traffic, and I just want to emphasise that the entire traffic flow was not shut down by the protesters. The police came along later on and they did shut down the entire 5 lanes. So just to sort of make it clear that that our protesters did make sure that there was some capacity for the traffic to keep flowing. But yes, I mean, certainly that's definitely the worst thing that could be going on right now. So yes, they were there for a couple of hours. As you say, the police were the ones who did shut down the entire traffic flow. It did have certainly a flow-on effect throughout the city, from what we understand, in terms of just interfering with business as usual, which is what these sorts of protests are designed to do. It's about just sort of having just a moment of the sort of chaos that the climate emergency is going to bring to all of us at some point or another, just as a way of sort of calling attention to the issue and giving people just a moment to sort of hopefully reflect on how we are not doing enough and what it is that things are going to start to look like if we don't start making some serious changes.
Yeah, I mean, you're quite right. I mean, today, even today, it's going to be screamingly hot. And we've been getting these screamingly hot days. Even when it's 20 degrees, there's this piercing quality to the sun. And this is about human degradation of the elements that keep this amazing planet in place.
Absolutely. And I think here in Victoria and particularly around Nam, we don't understand entirely what's happened this year in the rest of the country. So we've been quite lucky. Like a lot of people I know have commented, oh, it actually was quite a mild summer for us. Like there was all these dire predictions, oh, no, it's going to be like the hottest summer ever. It didn't end up happening here. But in a lot of other places in Australia, they have been having that horror summer. The West of Australia has had an absolutely terrible time of it. And just because it hasn't been sort of hitting home here quite so hard, I think maybe we just sort of haven't been realising quite what's going on. But what's been happening in the Northern Hemisphere, if you look at what's happening at the moment with the global sea temperatures, and that's the one that's really terrifying anybody who's paying attention to this stuff. It's terrifying the scientists. Those temperatures have been well above where they should be for over a year now. And more scientists are coming in and saying that they are sure that we have now crossed the 1.5 degree overall heating threshold that we were supposed to keep ourselves below, and we're over that now. So we are going in the wrong direction with all of this stuff. And to sort of say that people should be just sort of sitting back and accepting it and going, oh, well, you know, what are you going to do? The reason why people do these drastic things is because they feel desperate. They feel as though something has to happen. I don't know. It's like this thing people keep saying to us, this is the wrong way to go about it. And our response is, okay, well, tell us what the right way is. Like, tell us the thing that we should be doing that is going to get people's attention, because we do a lot of stuff where we go to fossil fuel companies and where we sort of target individuals who are associated with those companies, and nobody pays attention to that stuff. So it's got to get attention and it's got to get the message across. And I don't know, like how do you do that without being disruptive?
No, keep it nice, keep it nice. Wear a suit, keep it nice.
Yeah. So tell us how to do that. Where we are literally all ears, we want to hear that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm in furious agreement. And I also think that I take my hat off to Joe Zammit and Violet Coco and the third person involved in this action.
Brad Homewood.
Yeah, who, I mean, it's really brave to step over the line, isn't it?
It's terrifying to step over the line. We are so trained and indoctrinated and socialised to sort of do the right thing, to toe the line, to obey the rules, that transgressions of those things are scary. And then I think, like, think about what they did. They took a huge truck and they got up on top of it, on the top of this huge bridge, like physically terrifying things.
Yeah, because it's windy.
Well. Yeah, I couldn't have done it. That's scary to think about it all, like, let alone in that sort of context of, you know, angry drivers and then, of course, the police doing what the police do. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly enough, the charges, according to the mainstream media, I'm uncertain about the charges, as you probably could illuminate me, but something about, because the one thing that the powers that be and the people who are in charge of the economy that they want to maintain constantly want to prove that the activists have stopped a emergency vehicle getting to something.
Yes, everybody is very fixated on that. And in the case in Sydney where Violet again, who was on a truck on the Harbour Bridge, what happened was the police actually fabricated a story about an ambulance having been stopped. And when that case got to court, the police were forced to admit that no such thing had happened.
That happened in Adelaide as well.
Yes, right. So the police are very aware of the fact that those stories cut through, so they're prepared to deploy those stories as a way of making us look like the bad people. And in this instance, look, one thing that did happen was that there was a woman who was in labour and who was in the car going to the hospital, got caught up in traffic and ended up having the baby on the side of the road. And, look, a couple of activists, including Joe, who was one of the people on the truck, have already sort of expressed very clearly that is like a situation that we are very sorry has happened, and everyone's okay in that situation, which is fantastic, and we are like sending all of our love out to that family and, you know, so pleased that they're okay. But sort of emphasising again, it was the police who shut down all five lanes of the traffic, and also just like, you know, the reports on that, the extent to which we know that it was even sort of entirely associated with what was going on in the bridge is quite unclear. And just the fact that, like, you know, we don't want to sort of take away from the fact that we do apologise.
Oh, no, but I'll say something, Catherine. I think there's something very odd about this because, and this is not taking away from the action that was taken by X Rebellion and it's, you know, the traffic, you know, the moment of people realising that, you know, it's not business as usual. But the fact that the road system in Melbourne is completely kaput because of roadworks and going across the Westgate Bridge is not actually something that people can rely upon at the moment because of roadworks, and that Dynam Road and Footscray Road are all up the creek. It's hilarious to me.
Yeah, look, that's one of the things. Like, if you live in a city, one of the things you're sort of like tacitly consenting to is that you are going to get stuck in traffic at various points. And the sort of like one of the things we've been saying is, we stopped some of the traffic on the Westgate. Over the course of the days, including that same day last week, the ASEAN delegates...
Oh, my God, yes!
...were swanning around the city with their massive convoys of police and their big cars, and they were shutting down roads as they went. So somebody sent me footage of a half of Bridge Road in Richmond was completely shut down.
Yeah.
Like, there was trams banked up, there was cars banked up.
And people didn't know what was going on. I was caught up in this. People didn't know what was going on.
I can tell you, those delegates were going to a steak restaurant, and that was why that road was shut down.
Hilarious. Absolutely.
But strangely enough, we don't have people out there in the media and on the social media and calling up the, you know, talkback lines to say, well, the ASEAN delegates now need to be responsible for every single flow-on effect. They need to be responsible if somebody was late for work. They need to be responsible if an ambulance didn't get through. So it's like traffic is shut down.
Oh, and the cost of the police.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It was really hilarious. It happened on Tuesday night. It was on exactly the bookend of your action on in that afternoon, evening when I was going to the Hamer Hall to see Angelique Kidjo, which I have to tell you was fantastic. But everybody was caught up. Everything was stopped, and there's all these people going, "Oh, I'm going to miss my show. I'm going to miss my show."
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that there would have been no compensation for those people missing their show because of that. But for some reason,
That's hilarious.
it's people calling for the protection of like literally life on the planet. They then become like personally responsible for every single sort of thing. It's you know, the double standards around this stuff are pretty extraordinary. But we know why they're there. It's because people don't want people to step out of line. People don't want people to speak up. People don't want people to use their voices and ask for change.
Oh,
And
that's right.
the status quo will do everything in its power to prevent that from happening. Can we talk about the police for a minute? Because
Yeah.
we've had some interesting developments since Tuesday. Now, obviously, the absolutely outrageous thing that happened was that the two activists, Brad and Violet, are now in jail, that they've been given 21-day jail sentences. Which shouldn't be happening for people who are protesting, even if they're protesting in ways that other people find incredibly annoying. The idea that peaceful protest leads to jail sentences is part of what has been a creep across the world in terms of the policing of protests in general, but the policing of climate activists in particular. We've seen this in Australia. We saw in Sydney a couple of years ago where the police there went completely ridiculously overboard in literally hunting down the Blockade Australia protesters there
Yep.
and making those people's lives an absolute misery, like deliberately going out of their way to target, harass, and over-police and repress those people. We've seen it in Western Australia with Disrupt Borough Pub, where the police intimidated the ABC into handing over footage where they've been, again, harassing, intimidating, going to people's houses, raiding their houses in front of their children, doing those sorts of things, like over the top, in the cause of protecting a fossil fuel company. And now we're seeing it in Victoria. So we've seen these two people jailed, but we've also had communication from the police in the last 24 hours where they've told us that they are going to be ramping up the charges that they hit us with if anybody goes onto the road. They've told us they're going to hit us with indictable offences if people try and block traffic. If people walk on the road, those sorts of things. And they've also told us that they're going to be seeking an increase to the sentence for those two activists who have already got 21 days. So they are sending us messages that are designed to be intimidating, that are designed to try and stop us from doing what is our democratic right, which is to protest. And I think it is very alarming that this trend that we've seen in other places around Australia has now come to Victoria, and we really hope people will sort of come out and support us. To like, we, you know, the more numbers we have, the easier it is to resist this sort of stuff. But everybody who is involved in protest, and I know everybody's doing the Palestine stuff. There's so much protest going on at the moment. We all need to be keeping an eye on these sorts of increases because it will affect all of us in the end if that's what they start to do.
Well, we've come to the end of our time, Catherine, but we have so much to talk about. And, of course, X Rebellion is kicking off a week of action, 13th to the 16th of March. People need to go to the website, and there's going to be lots of need for people to come out and support your actions.
Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thanks, Catherine. Thanks for coming and talking to us.
No worries.